Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, she's the Queen of Improv, a tofu taster, and the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, Miss Allie Mack. And Dylan's not driving a busted-up vehicle today. It's a rental, though. So it'll be back soon. He is a creepy wave and Dylan Dylon Matthews, the voice of the hometown take. And our forces combined to make The Morning Shift, the greatest sports talk radio show in the history of morning radio ever. Well, just this city. But, you know, it works for me.
In the history ever. I love the way you put that. I'm driving a loner as well, just like Dylan. And I got to tell you guys, it took me a solid hour to figure out where the volume was.
Oh, really?
Like, it might as well be a spaceship. You know what I mean? I don't know how Dylan's faring in his loner, but I got into mine, and I'm, like, adjusting seats, mirrors. It's one of those with, like, a massive, like, screen. It's like a 2025. And, I was lost. I was really lost getting in that thing.
It's like you go from being right-handed to left-handed out of nowhere, and you're like, I don't understand anything.
Such a good call.
But I can maneuver this. I do think I made Dylan a little bit nervous yesterday because I asked him when he's going to get his bumper fixed, are they going to make the hood the same color? And he was like,
Hadn't thought about that. Great question.
I don't know. One of those carbon fiber joints on your hood, you know what I mean, with some intake slots on there. Yeah.
What are you talking about? You're speaking Japanese to me right now.
You know
now.
What I mean? Like
this man said carbon fiber, and I don't even know the second term he used.
Duct tape, man. I don't know.
You know like they have the hoods with the vents on the top
like
for the cold air?
It's like a cowl induction hood is what it's considered because it has where there's ventil. It looks ventilated. It's really not. It's most of it's cosmetic, but it's you know what a cowl induction hood is?
Absolutely not.
You know what I mean? Like put a spoiler on the back, a little dual exhaust.
I know what a spoiler is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like soup it up, like Fast and Furious.
I don't know if I'm gonna do all that.
Fast and Furious is so old now, though. Like the original, the OG, it was like 2001, something like that. It's crazy.
I'll say this real quick. When I first got into the Jeep yesterday, I was like, "Well, I've driven bigger cars before." And they told me they were giving me like an SUV. When I saw a Jeep, I was like, okay, yeah, I guess it's in the realm of SUV. But like, you know, I'm not used to having to like step up into my car. Yeah, I'm usually have to like fall into it because I'm tall in that thing.
What type of Jeep is it? Are you talking like a Jeep Liberty? Like
Wrangler.
Or like
I think,
Jeep
Wrangler. It's a Wrangler. Yeah. It's a Wrangler.
It's nice.
It is nice. But yeah, I still haven't figured like, I don't even know. Because it doesn't have like, you know how usually on a car, like on the side with the automatic windows, you just press the button to roll the window down.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that. I don't know. Can you roll the window down in the Jeep? Because I know, like, the doors come off.
Yes.
I don't know where the button is.
Unless it's the soft top and you have to zip it, Do you guys remember the Jeeps? You did the windows zipped.
Yes.
Bro, we've had this conversation before.
Well, I know
my OG was a Geo Tracker.
Well,
no.
Yeah,
and I know you used to drive Joes, but like I mean, Dylan, I don't think Dylan ever experienced a soft top Jeep where you had to zip the windows down.
I have seen those. I mean, basically, I don't think I've been in one.
That was the thing is my buddy had one of those in high school, not in high school, but it was in college, and somebody robbed him. And they were such an a-hole, they cut the window. It's like, dude, you could literally have unzipped it and stolen anything you wanted, and you took a knife and cut the plastic. It's like, are you – that's how you – either you're that big of a scum or there's a reason you're so stupid you're having to steal from people.
I had the radio that you could remove from the car that had the dolphin swimming.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that thing?
You got to take your faceplate with you, man.
Well, I was at home. Yeah, they box cuttered my back window and got in there and took my – it hurt, man. That one hurt me.
That was literally – I just used Allie as I knew she would get the reference. I was like, Allie will get the faceplate reference. Dylan, when you used to – everybody got cussed. Back in the day, they didn't have these big screens. And everybody would go to, like, Hi-Fi Buys or whatever. And you would, like – or Circuit City had
Ken's
one.
Ken's Cartoons.
In Circuit City and even Best Buy had like car shops where you go get your car stereo replaced, right? Your CD player.
My dad used to do that.
And what you would do is when you would buy one, you'd be like, it's faceplate removable. And they're like, yeah, look at this. It even comes with a pouch. You can take it with you. And you would take it with you everywhere you went.
My dad's wasn't just a faceplate. It was the whole thing and it had a handle on it. Like you would just carry it inside with you.
Yeah. I mean, it was a real thing. Like,
that is crazy.
Anyways, and that's it for today's history lesson, class.
Man, times were wild. We will be doing some history today, actually, in the Mac Drop. So get ready for that at 6:40. But let's get you caught up on the headlines that's happened since we last got to chat. The World Series is set. Blue Jays won Game 7 of the ALCS last night against the Mariners 4-3. George Springer hit a 3-run homer that will take his team back to the World Series for the first time since 1993. Game 1 of the World Series is this Friday when the Dodgers head to Toronto.
Go Blue Jays.
Go Blue Jays.
I agree with you.
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody's saying that today.
Because it's Toronto versus L.A. You know that was Drake Kendrick. Well, I think so. Go Blue Jays.
The last time the Blue Jays were in the World Series was 92.
Or 3.
No, 93. Yes, right. I forgot that they went back to back.
I'm so glad everyone listens to things I have to say.
Dude, I was vibing with you. I was like, Allie, it's okay. I heard it.
That was Joe Carter against Wild Thing, Mitch Williams, walk-off. I was so glad. I hated the Phillies then, Dylan.
Well, Dyson Daniels is here to stay. He and the Hawks just worked out a 4-year, $100 million rookie contract extension. NBA regular season starts tonight with a doubleheader as the defending NBA champs OKC welcome in Kevin Durant and the Houston Rockets. And then the Warriors take on the Lakers in L.A. And in Monday night football's doubleheader, the Lions beat the Bucks 24-9 and the Seahawks beat the Texans 27-19 last night.
I was shocked at the way Tampa Bay held the passing game. Detroit held Tampa Bay's passing game in check. I know Evans went out early with the collar. I thought he was concussed when he went down because of how woozy he was, but he broke his collarbone. So he's going to be out probably the rest of the season. But they just held Tampa Bay's offense in check, and they were missing literally everybody. And then Rock Ya-Sin goes out to start the second, I think maybe early in the third quarter. Their entire
second. Yeah, what was going on with him?
It looked like a hammy.
I just looked up on the TV and saw him walking to the
tunnel. So he pulled his he had hamstring tightness earlier in the game, and he convinced them to let him go back in. And on the pass where it's a third down and it looks like a zone coverage, and Egbuka kind of got in the soft spot of it, kind of in between, and Baker just kind of missed him. You can see Ya-Sin pulling up late, and I think that was it. But at one point in time, they didn't have anybody from the first game. And in their secondary, Kirby Joseph was out. Obviously, Brian Branch was suspended for, serving street justice to Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, it was just and they still just dominated them defensively.
Yeah. It's been interesting to kind of watch both those. I got a chance to watch a little bit of that Seattle game against Houston, and I kept thinking to myself, I never thought we'd get to a point where I wondered if Minnesota would regret Sam Darnold walking out the door, and I feel like we're there. I watched Carson Wentz a good clip this past weekend, man. And for the whole first half of that game, he was missing wide open throws. Like, not like, oh, he couldn't drop it in a bucket 30 yards down the field. I'm talking about just straight up 10-yard throws he's throwing into the ground in the first half of that game. And Sam Darnold and the Seahawks are good. Like, they are good, man. Watching that team kind of go to work was a lot of fun last night. I'm looking at J.J. McCarthy on the sideline of that Minnesota game, and I'm like, I'm not sure that that's going to fare any better. Carson Wentz looks like a guy that they picked up off the street in training camp, and Sam Darnold obviously balling out with his team. So that was a fun night of football for sure.
Well, later in the show today, we are going to get Mike and Bo's analysis on the good, the bad, and the ugly from Sunday night's Falcons game. That will be at 7 a.m. But Raheem did talk to the press yesterday, gave us some more insight on injuries that are going on with the guys. Let's hear from Raheem on what's going on with Michael Penix.
It wasn't ankle. It was some form of a bone bruise that I'll get more information for you as we get it. You know, obviously, he came in today, he saw our guys, saw our doctors. There's definitely some limitations. I don't want to sit here and lie to you guys and act like I was really locked in to see what it was. I was seeing how fast he can get back and how well he would be. So I'll get all the stuff to you as we get to Wednesday.
Interesting. I mean, he finished the game. I don't foresee any kind of circumstance where we're talking about Kirk Cousins playing. It does stink that, you know, he could possibly be more limited in terms of mobility or athleticism. You know, going back and watching the tape, he was running around a little bit more than I actually realized in true game time. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of times he escaped the pocket, and really the first quarter, but most of the first half, was probably 5 or 6 running towards the sideline, trying to make throws on the run and things like that, getting the receivers to come back to him. That's, by the way, something they need to work on a lot. Yeah. It stinks. No doubt about it. And hopefully we got a lot of work to do, and you don't want it to be limited at practice during the week.
I got some thoughts on him when he scrambles. I'm going to need him to be more decisive and just kind of have a in his head an internal clock of, all right, I can turn up and get a couple yards out of this play. I don't know what I'm – stop holding the ball, running around towards the sideline and throwing it away late when he could get yards. He's had opportunities to get something positive out of the play and still get out of bounds and not take a shot. I need him to do that a little bit more. I was kind of digging around, and it was emphasized to me, it's not a foot or an ankle, as it was reported by multiple people that was at the presser today or that did it, whether it was virtual or not, but a bone bruise. I have no clue what bone it was that was bruised, but it was emphasized that
the ankle bone?
It was a bone bruise. I tend to think it was like a shin. Like, or the lower leg right there. Yeah, right there. That I guess you could say that. I don't know what you consider actually your ankle bone, but I always considered your shin anything from the top of your foot to the lower, right around your kneecap, right? That's like your shin.
Yeah.
I think, but again, it wasn't clarified. There was no clarity on where the bone bruise was. It was just a bone bruise, not a foot. Not an ankle, but a bone bruise. I don't understand, but it is a bone bruise.
Yeah, that tibia, your shin, does wrap to the inside of your ankle, and that's, you know, it could technically be considered your ankle, even though it is your tibia, which is your shin. I don't know. There's a lot of gray area in there. I'm not going to diagnose it.
And at this point, Michael Penix Raheem was saying he's day-to-day, but there's another injury that's a little bit more concerning that's going to take someone out for some time. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Shift at 6:23 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being here with us. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. And earlier we talked about the bone bruise that Michael Penix is dealing with. Raheem has his status is kind of day-to-day at this point, but there was another injury causing a bit more concern yesterday as Raheem talked to the press. Let's hear from Raheem on this one.
I know he's going to miss some time. You know, it's probably a fracture, I believe. So he'll miss a little bit of time, but we look forward to getting back at some point this year.
Isn't this the moment where you just see Devon Diablo go out there and he's got like a cast from his elbow to his like to his hand? Remember when guys used to break their hands like defensive linemen? Did you ever go against one of those defensive linemen that would break like his hand and he would go out there with it would just be like, I just look like a big ball cast, like a mitt
or
something.
What they would do? You got a fist. You know what they would do inside of that is put a tennis ball in their hand. Most people don't realize that, but like, yeah, because you didn't want it fully clenched most of the time when you had a broken hand or a wrist thing. So they put a tennis ball, and then they would start wrapping it up. It was crazy. I used to watch the process all the time in the train room because I'd be like, this is nuts.
So you're holding tennis. How's your hand not cramp up?
I don't know. I think that's the reason why they didn't do a closed fist, though.
But, like can you just do it with your hand out like this?
And like have a little bit of wiggle room. You'd be more prone to injury if your fingers are straight out, right? I don't know. But yeah, it was crazy. I used to watch them wrap up the tennis ball and get the club. It was nuts.
I always figured that because it looked like a club.
Yeah.
And it was they were so big that I figured you had enough room to not fully. My hand probably because I got, whopper hands, but like some of those guys, I figured they could like open and close their hand for the most part
inside the club.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of the time
that would defeat the purpose of the club. Like, right? The cast is so you can't move it. Right?
If I was a defensive lineman, I'd probably just get a club put on one of my hands every time. I'd just hit people with it.
I can't imagine playing a football game like that. I've never had to deal with that. I mean, I've dealt with obviously a ton of other injuries, but I've never had to do anything with my hands like you imagine like trying to be in coverage. Like, and you can't grab anything or like, I'm sorry, make a tackle, like fly up and make a tackle. I saw linebackers who do it, outside linebackers. Like, how can you fly up and try to make a tackle? It would be really, really hard.
Be good for punching the ball.
Yeah, if you want to use your broken hand to do that, I guess.
I mean, you got a cast on it. Yeah, it's not going to hurt.
Ball, so.
I mean, it's going to hurt. But it's not a hand. It's a forearm.
Allie wants us to talk about Devon Diablo.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's a forearm.
Yeah, I was just going to bring up the fact that it seemed like you guys weren't as concerned about the Michael Penix bone bruise earlier. But this Devon Diablo going to be out for some time. We've got a fracture. Stronger word there. How concerned are you now?
Well,
pretty concerned.
I think he's been... I don't think he's been undervalued, but he's been really good, and he's been good in run fits. He's been good in coverage. There's a lot of heat going towards JD Bertrand right now and how he played. And I think he played okay. I don't think he played great at first. I think he misplayed some fits. I think he over pursued at times and got out of position. But I also think it's hard to tell because you got blown off the ball. I mean, in a lot of cases up front. And so I think that some of the criticism that Bertrand is getting is not necessarily fair. That said, he's not the player that Diablo is because he's not as fast. And he's not, I don't know if at this point in his career he's as instinctual.
I think you're spot on, man. I got to give you credit because I'm watching the tape this morning. I'm looking almost for JD Bertrand to get – overtaken, like exposed. I don't know what the word is. He's not as rangy as Divine Diablo, and that's from a standpoint of speed and actual length at the point of contact. And when you see Divine Diablo fly out into the flats and try to tackle a guy like Christian McCaffrey, J.D. Bertrand gets there, and he's not as long, you know, with his arms and things, and it's a little bit tougher for him. But I think you're spot on with the way you were getting blown off the ball up front. It's clear what Jeff Olbrich was trying to do. I think he knew that there was going to be a run game plan installed from the San Francisco 49ers. He goes with a bit of a bare defense, a 5-1, 5-2 up front. They're closing down, you know, the B gaps, and they're covering up the center. And I think, in my opinion, Arnold Ebiketie and James Pierce were picked on. I think when you look at those guys on the field, they were like, we're about to bully these dudes. Kyle Juszczyk, Kittle, pulling guards. Like, they absolutely wore those guys out on the exterior, and all that got funneled to J.D. Bertrand, made him look bad at times. Whereas if you're a little bit more stout at the point of attack, he could, you know, come up and fly up and fill some holes a little bit quicker.
Let's put it this way. You had 38 tackles combined from these four. This is how you know you had a bad night up front. Bertrand, Bates, Caden Ellis, and Xavier Watts combined for 38 tackles. And they only threw for 100 and something yards. So Bates and Watts having that many tackles tells you how far down the field they were getting in the run game.
Yeah.
Because those guys were having to come up and make tackles, and you would like some defensive linemen to be up there. Pierce multiple times got pinned to the end, allowed himself to get pinned to the inside. He did make a great play early in the game on a, they were trying to set up a screen to McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And he recognized it and just stood in front of him and was like, No, you're not going to get me. You're not going to get it. Dude. But that was, I thought that was a great play. But yeah, it was really bad. And that's why I even had a guy, and it's a listener, and he's not the guy that wants to argue. He's just like, Mac Jones, they beat us with a backup quarterback. And I was like, first off, you held Mac Jones under 200 yards. He's leading the league. San Francisco's leading the league in passing offense. And Brock Purdy's played like a game and a half, okay? So Mac Jones is not your average backup.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't want to, but I'm really frustrated with the narrative that we didn't have a plan for Christian McCaffrey, or like we didn't account for Christian McCaffrey. I think I don't think you go into a game not accounting for one of the best players in the league when he's healthy. I think the problem is when you get your ass kicked up front, there's a lot of running backs in this league that are going to expose you when you get exposed up front like that.
I just think they have pieces, not the offensive line, but pieces like Juszczyk and Kittle, like I said, but they're able to really wear out some of those edge players. I'll be real. I didn't like the game plan where it took a while to move from that bare front and spread out the defensive front. And you actually, at the end, there's a short yardage situation I noticed, and I haven't noticed this many times this year, where you actually put Dorless at the quote-unquote outside linebacker edge spot, which I thought was a nice move, and that's, you know, a slight adjustment. And it probably has something to do with Divine Diablo not being a part of things as well, but I thought that was a nice move. It seemed like everything was funneled. Our bigger bodies were all B-gap, nose guard, B-gap. You know what I mean? And it seemed like that front, they were doing a nice job of kind of funneling things between the tackles and the tight ends, and we had no answer for it.
There was a play. I will say this. There was a play. This one I'm a little bit confused on. There was a play late that I think it was late that Mac Jones rolls out. It might have been the end of the first half when they scored that touchdown. And McCaffrey is in blocking. And Mac, by this time, he rolls out. He gets out of the pocket. And McCaffrey got out from his block and released downfield. And so it looks like you didn't account for him at all in the passing game. But the reality is that when he was in blocking, and when the play left the pocket, everything went that way, and he was smart enough to release and become an outlet for Mac Jones. And so it looks like, and I don't know, that's one where I don't really know who's to blame there, because it's not like you didn't account for McCaffrey, but he stayed in blocking, and it feels like whoever in that situation, Mike, if you maybe you had it was like a green dog situation, yeah, right?
Probably did.
Where you the player, the linebacker that had him when as soon as McCaffrey blocked in a green dog situation, when you see that guy block, you rush.
Yeah.
Because now he's not going out for a pass. And then when the play, and that's just, it's one of those things where McCaffrey, the way the play went, his football IQ won.
Yeah.
I don't know what you can do about that.
No, and it's one of those things where every defensive coach will tell you, if you're going to green dog, you got to get home. I mean, that's just the bottom line. That's what happens. You get burned on plays like that. I wish we had more of those kind of plays in our offense, because we just talked about Michael Penix. And Michael Penix, he moves well. I am starting to wonder, though, watching the tape, if we drafted the least athletic of the quarterbacks in the first round from 2 years ago. I'm like going back through my head going, man, he's moving, and it's not slow, but it's like a straight line, and I don't know that he's ever going to slow down when he starts heading towards the sideline.
I find it hard to believe, because I watched him in Indiana, and I know that he's went through two knee surgeries since, right? I get all that. I just almost feel at times that he refuses to, because I know he can, but I watched week one and look at the athleticism he showed in week one.
Yeah.
But it is almost to the point where he refuses to do that. I would love, if I was a coach, if I was DJ Williams, who's his quarterback coach. Apparently most people in this town do not know who his quarterback coach is. It is DJ Williams, Doug Williams' son. I would say, look, you can't play with this thought in your head that you're going to get hurt. You just let it go.
I don't think he's hesitant. I just think that what happens is he rolls out, he sees a defender kind of step up that might be at the line of scrimmage or 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, and there's no, like, ability to buy time, and there's nobody coming back to him. And I think there was a play really early where Tyler Algier is streaking up the sideline, and Tyler Algier is trying to run off the coverage and act like he's, like, you know, going to get a ball thrown over his head. And Michael Penix just, I don't know, gains 2 yards. It's like, I'm going to run straight out of bounds. There's no, like, slowing down or anybody coming back to him or any kind of adjustments from the receivers that are, you know, in sync when the scramble drill happens. It's just I'm going to keep running and really fast. Oh, and there's the sideline, and we're out of bounds, or I throw it away. That's just how it happens.
I do think there's something to them not coming back and receivers not working back towards the ball. But I just feel like the guy is just not letting go when he leaves the pocket, as far as just making a play. Go make a play. It's okay.
Well, and at 7 o'clock today, Mike and Bo are going to have to whittle down their good, bad, and ugly when it comes to Sunday night's game. This Friday, join us, the morning shift at Publix in town Brookhaven, for a special broadcast. Come on in and pick up your supplies for Sunday's tailgate. Come say hello to myself, Mike, Bo, as we broadcast live from the store. It's all brought to you by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix. It's the morning shift Friday, 6 to 9 at Publix in town Brookhaven on Sports Radio 92.9, the game this Friday. Coming up, we're going to get into some college football. A lot of rankings changed over the weekend, and we've got my Mac drop. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Back to the Future Day. So we got to see what they got right and what they got wrong about the future. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. And Florida State coach Mike Norvell received a statement of support from athletic director Michael Alford after a fourth straight loss. Florida State is saying basically they're going to make a decision after the season.
Let me translate that statement for you, Allie. is this Michael? We don't have the money right now. We're trying to gather the funds to fire his ass. We'll check back with you at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. That is all that said. Because I think his is like 53 or something, $1 million buyout or something like that. I mean, Florida State is not there has been money problems down there. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and they go about things, the Seminole Booster Inc. and everything like that, they go about things a little bit differently. I'm with you. I think this is a very much a kind of week-to-week thing. And if things go any further south, this is always the problem for me, the way that teams like this go about their business when they always reload to the transfer portal. You always run the risk of players that when you get out of the championship picture that are like, you know what, I'm not going to play quite as hard as I would have. And that's not to take a shot at Florida State. I think there's Florida State fans that would absolutely agree with that. But I think there is, behind the scenes, a lot of people going, how much money do we have? How can we find equity? How can we push some things around with some of the boosters? And who would we go after if and when we did make a move? I don't think Gus Malzahn wants that job. I don't think he wants anything to do with it. So there's a couple of different ways to look at that. But have you seen the do you know they're supposed to open their new facility down there this week?
Really?
And Mike Norvell's office in this facility is like literally 2,500 square feet.
Oh, wow.
And the thought of them like moving boxes into his facility and doing a ribbon cutting, it hits me. I'm like, man, that would be the worst feeling. And I'm like, I didn't even unpack my boxes, man. I didn't even get them unpacked into my new 2,500 square foot, office. Man, it's crazy down there right now.
I'd like to give some credit to Mike for being the kiss of death. Came in here the day that they played Virginia, which was a Thursday night game, and I don't know where you were. I guess you were here.
It
was a Friday.
Yeah,
and you had maybe we were just sitting. I don't know. I can't remember. But you weren't in the room yet. And Mike's like, yeah, we're just saying the other day, Florida State's the best team in the country.
It was like an S&P thing. Yeah.
Every metric out has Florida State as the best team in the country.
Whoa.
Florida State has lost 46-38, 28-22, 34-31, and 20-13 since. In fact,
makes you feel any better. Bo said Penn State was going to win the national title.
A lot of people said that.
I said that I could see it happening. Yeah. I didn't say they would do it. Florida State's beat one Power 4 team. Just happens to be Alabama, who might be playing the best football of any team in the country right now.
Unfortunate, man. Unfortunate. I think you brought up a good point about that yesterday, saying it might be because of that Bama's playing so well. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I kind of woke him up a little bit.
Apparently, your boy DeBoer is getting a little bit feisty with reporters these days. But
don't blame him.
He said something.
That sports media, man. They're crazy.
He said something going into, I think, the Georgia game. Or he was either going into the Georgia game or after the Georgia game, going into Vanderbilt, and he was like, "We got to make a lot of changes after that game and get this team focused, and basically like, hey, you guys ain't that, so let's come to terms with what we are, and it's turned out well for them. Not so much Florida State, 3-4.
Yeah, good call.
Well, after Billy Napier's firing, odds are coming out for Florida's new head coach. A couple of the names high on the list, Lane Kiffin, James Franklin, Eli Drinkwitz, Jed Fish. Anyone you want to take?
Let me tell you something.
Tell me.
Hiring Eli Drinkwitz would be like the most painful thing ever, and it would probably be a really good thing for the team because he's got an attitude. He doesn't take crap. He runs his mouth a little bit, and he's a hell of a coach. I just don't know if I could deal with that. I mean, God almighty.
He's got a little – it feels a little bit like a Mullen to me.
Well, because he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
But it turns out Mullen and him both are when a lot of times when it comes to X's and O's.
What would be your feeling if they were to go out and offer the job to James Franklin? Lane Kiffin says no, and they're like, all right, we're going to call James Franklin.
Well, I would call Marcus Freeman first just to have him tell me no.
But what would
just
be your feeling if they offered to James Franklin?
If James Franklin had that team 10-2, 10-3, 11-1, 11-2, had them in championship games, I think that would be a complete step up from what Florida has been.
You're going too far down the line. If they called him and they were like, "Hey, you got offered the job,"
I would feel indifferent because I don't think you would get the best candidate at that point, but I think you would get a top five candidate for the job.
Okay.
Let me throw in one more name on here. RG3 was on the Dan Patrick Show and suggested this.
If Tim Tebow goes into any home in Florida, you're telling me that those parents aren't saying, yep, sign me up. I'm coming. You got to put a great staff around him.
Right,
you
can't hire staff. Here, let me tell you something. This is the same guy who during a broadcast of Florida State, a few years before the year Napier was hired, like weeks later, went on a tirade about why Deion Sanders should have gotten the job. And I'm not telling you Deion Sanders is a bad hire that then. But Deion Sanders has done nothing that tells me I want him coaching a Power Four school like Florida. He's not been consistent. He's got Colorado better. But Colorado had nowhere to go.
We've already gone too far in this conversation. Tim Tebow's never even coached middle school football. All of a sudden, he's going to be the head coach at Florida? What are we doing? Deion didn't just step into the Florida State job or something like that. He went to Jackson State and then to Colorado. Like, what are we talking like?
If you want him to be the general manager recruit players,
I'm not talking about that.
If he wants to be the GM, that's one thing. I don't know why RG3 gets to speak on college football these days because he's brutal with his takes.
I have one more question for you before we move on. If and when Brian Kelly gets fired at LSU.
Mm-mm. No, I can't.
No, no, I'm not talking about Brian Kelly. Let me finish. Okay. If and when Brian Kelly gets fired at LSU, which job is better, LSU or Florida? I think Penn State would take Brian Kelly, first and foremost, but which job is better, LSU
or Florida? Can I tell you that I think that they're very equal? Hold on. I think LSU has had more sustained success the last 10 to 15 years. There's no doubt about that. They've also made some better hires. But I think when it comes to expectations, they're and overzealous boosters.
Sure.
They are very close. Florida has I think is a better recruiting ground. But Florida has to compete with a lot more schools coming in, and LSU has a good lockdown on that state. Now the talent is much more rich in Florida than Louisiana. But Louisiana goes to Texas.
I'm not sure the recruiting bed thing matters as much anymore.
Well, it's so national. And then you have the portal.
And the portals are such a great equalizer in that.
But I think both of those teams are very neck and neck because of the expectations and how little margin of error there is at the schools.
Well, Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And I will say, Dylan made me do the Tim Tebow drop.
I'm sure he did.
He knew what he was going to do.
I knew what it was going to do. I just wanted to ensue a little bit of a frustration in y'all.
I just get tired of hearing RG3 be ridiculous with everything he says and continue to get a microphone.
Let's move on to something you do enjoy. Back to the Future. Today, it is 10 years since Doc and Marty traveled to the future and Back to the Future 2. Does that make sense? October 21st,
mm-hmm.
2015.
Yeah, I remember there was a big thing about the Cubs back
Biff
then.
World.
Yeah, it was a big thing
Biff
about the
World.
Biff World. Biff World. All right. So we're going to revisit the movie. And you haven't seen any of this, Mike, correct?
I saw Back to the Future in like bits and pieces. Like I think I watched it 4 different times and caught like, beginning, middle, end, like in between. So I've seen it, but like following the storylines of what you're talking about, absolutely
right.
not.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, back in 1989, when they made this movie, obviously they came up with all these inventions. And it's fun to kind of revisit, see what has happened, what has not happened. TV video calls. This was one of the things that was huge in the movie, which we have FaceTime. Mm-hmm. But why is it so much cooler in the movie than it is to actually get a FaceTime? Because now I get one, I'm like, oh, God, no. or Zoom or something. Like, please,
I don't think everybody feels like that, though.
Really? I do.
I see
please
people
don't.
That are just walking around the store on FaceTime. It blows my mind. I'm like, why aren't you just talking on the phone?
That's crazy to
Yeah, I'm with Allie. I'm like, right. I don't want to talk on the phone unless let's see you when I'm talking.
I have one friend in a group text that always fires off, like on Saturday night, he'll fire off like a group FaceTime. And I'm like, dude, nobody's going to join that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say it's cool. It's cool to keep up with. Like, I did FaceTime with Amy and Pork Chop, right? Sunday. That was cool because, you know, you haven't seen them in a day.
Right.
But other than that, I don't, if you're a random person, don't FaceTime me. I don't want to see you. I don't want, just text me.
The other things they came up with were smart glasses. So we have those. Flying cars, unfortunately not. I don't think.
Ish. They're starting to like have it in New York. The drone cars.
I do not think we drive well enough. Like, we're not behaved well enough.
The key would be to make sure it's driven by a computer. Like the Waymo of flying cars. Yeah, I don't need anybody to be in control.
Well, like on Fifth Element, everything's like sky stuff. It's really,
traffically,
I'm like,
I have seen that.
I'm like, what's on the ground in the Fifth Element in the cities?
It's just
they
a foggy.
Also had fingerprint recognition, a dog walking drone.
They got those.
I'm still getting used to the robots on all the sidwalks that are like food deliveries.
I know.
Like, I see those all the time now, and I'm like, dude, this is crazy.
Somebody had a video on Facebook that they have a dog walking drone. At, like, there was a school event, and it was like a dog, and it was walking, and it was a drone.
Man, what a simple
robot.
Pleasure to take away from yourself.
You're talking about a robotic dog.
Yeah, is that the same thing?
No, we're talking about a drone walking the dog so you don't have to.
Oh, I thought you meant a drone that walked like a dog.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
These are good.
Wrong walking dog altogether.
Man, and there are probably two more that I'm still waiting on to happen. The self-lacing shoes, I would love for that to happen.
Well, didn't they try to create the Nike, I think, tried to make these.
They have they released a special edition Back to the Future sneaker shoe in 2016.
Yes, I remember that.
$18,000 up to $200,000.
Yeah, no,
they don't self-tie, though. And then also the auto-drying clothes. I mean,
That was the thing in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That would be such a game changer.
We're not get that done. I guess we have Under Armour now. It's like
that's
moisture
true.
Wicking.
Yeah. Not quite as cool as in Back to the Future.
Thing.
We'll check back in 10 years and see what inventions we've come up with. All right, coming up, it's time, guys. The good, the bad, and the ugly from Sunday night's game. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of ugly. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of bad.
We'll see it all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.